once again to this time of worship and praise in God's house. A cloud hid him from their sight. We heard that on Thursday, once again, as we observed Jesus' ascension into heaven. And imagine what those guys were thinking at that time. What do we do now? The angels helped with that. The Holy Spirit would help with that tremendously a few days later. Maybe we say that ourselves quite often. What do I do now? What do we do now? This is why Jesus prayed the prayer that he did on Maundy Thursday evening. We'll look more closely at some of the words he said today as he prayed for those disciples, a prayer that we can also make great use of today. God's blessings on your worship. To be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, was taken up in glory and intercedes for us at your right hand. Through your living and abiding word, give us hearts to know him and faith to follow where he has gone. Who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Give our attention now to our scripture readings for the seventh Sunday in the season of Easter. Our first epistle is recorded in the book of Acts. The Lord blessed his early church greatly. It grew greatly. It got to the point where there was more work than what the disciples themselves could do. We see how that got addressed. But along with the great growth came great opposition. And the death of Stephen is really the beginning point of horrible, continual persecution on the part of both Jews and the Romans alike. But God will have an answer for that as well. And if nothing else, we can say this, that his answer to persecution and death as a result is heaven. From Acts chapter 6 and then going on into chapter 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it." When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Our second lesson is recorded in the first epistle of St. John, chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson today is recorded in St. John's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. This is a section of what has commonly been called Jesus' high priestly prayer. He was functioning that evening as a high priest. His prayer was for himself, for disciples of all time. This section here is more specifically for that group of men that had the privilege of being with him for a while Jesus was on earth. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the singing of the next hymn, hymn 446.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for meditation today is the gospel lesson which was just read a few minutes ago. In the name of Christ Jesus, who intercedes for us, our Savior, our friend. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You probably know how the rest of that prayer goes. Maybe it was or is your bedtime prayer. It's a good one. I just made a rocket trip to the Twin Cities for Grandparents' Day on Friday, and that was their bedtime prayer that night. It wasn't mine. We used several verses of, "Now the light has gone away." Maybe that was your bedtime prayer. Bedtime prayer is such an awesome time of the day, whether it's with little children or whether it's you all by yourself or with someone else beside you. Time to reflect on the day, time to focus once again on our Jesus and on the need for protection. We're in a rather vulnerable state while we're sleeping. We're unaware of everything else that is happening. And no matter what your bedtime prayer is or was, I bet there was something in there asking for safety, for protection. But threats don't only come at night, of course. In fact, there are probably more threats that come during the day. Jesus was well aware of this. And in a prayer that he spoke, as recorded in John's Gospel, he shows us why prayers for safety are really good prayers. And he also shows us that the answers to those prayers are also really good by his design. So today we'll think about a prayer that goes, "Lord, keep us safe, we pray." Jesus spoke this prayer on Maundy Thursday evening. He had spent some time that evening, first of all, observing another Passover that all Jews observed for centuries. But he also gave new meaning to something that his friends, his disciples, had done many times over, by pointing out to them that all those thousands of previous of Passovers that people had observed were really always all about him. All of those sacrifices were pictures of what he was about to do just hours later by being the sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the whole world, which is why he said to them, "Eat this, it's me. Drink this, it's me." And we'll think about that again this morning as we do the very same thing here. And so there's already a lot going on in their minds, in their hearts. But he also used this occasion to prep them for days and years to come, because he knew what they were in for, especially after he would ascend into heaven and return to his Father. And little did they realize what they were in for. In the hours to come, when they would see their rabbi, their friend, betrayed by a guy that had hung around with them for years, into the hands of those that they knew were going to harm him. So there was that. And then to see him hanging on the cross and to suffer horribly. And then to find out that his body's missing from the grave. So all of that in just the hours and the days to come. And then having the privilege of Jesus hanging around with them for 40 days after his resurrection. And yet, to show where they're at mentally, emotionally, maybe spiritually here, they ask him before he's going to ascend, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" And then, all the many days and years that followed his ascension. What do we do now? So Jesus prayed for them. He knew how vulnerable they were. And he loved them. And so he prayed to his Father for them. Protect them. Protect them as I protected them and kept them safe. I'm coming to you now. I've given them what they need, but the world is going to hate them and oppose them. Lord, Father, keep them safe and sanctify them by your truth. Are we any less vulnerable than they were? If Jesus prayed for those guys who had the privilege of being with him, of in his presence, hear him speak, watch him perform those miracles, appear to them after rising from the grave, if he prayed for them, oh, how we also need those prayers. Lord, keep us safe. Maybe we're not facing the kind of persecution they faced. Stephen was killed. Every one of these guys would be martyred, except for John, who wrote these words down. And prior to their martyrdom, they faced threats constantly. Maybe we don't face that, and we're thankful for that protection. But we still live in a world that opposes the message of a gospel, of a Savior, in the person of Jesus Christ. We still live in a world that thinks that many of the teachings, including what we teach about Lord's Supper, is ridiculous. We still live in a world that thinks that the Christian faith actually holds people back, stifles them from achieving what they really could achieve if they didn't believe in a pipe dream. We face that. We still face the threats of evil all around us, the random acts of violence, the anger that so often is easily directed towards someone for nothing major. But maybe our prayer should also include, Lord, keep us safe from ourselves. Because how often aren't we our own worst enemy? As we think that we can, by our own strength, maybe work through difficulties and challenges without going to our God in prayer, as we find ourselves struggling with our own doubts and fears, as we struggle for sure with the shame and guilt of our many sins, threats to our faith, to our soul, this is why it's such a good prayer to say. Because it's so necessary, but because it also directs our attention to the one who wants us to pray to him, who invites us to pray to him, who said the very same prayer for his disciples. One of the requests that Jesus made of his Father focused on the truth. He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so really, when you think about it, the greatest threat that those disciples faced was losing sight of the truth of the gospel. They were the ones that Jesus commissioned to go out to the ends of the earth and proclaim it. These are the ones that risked their own lives and encouraged other people to risk their own lives for the truth. So they needed to know and to cling to the truth, that gospel message. The greatest threat to us is not being killed, although that's a great threat, to be ridiculed or opposed. The greatest threat is to lose the truth of the gospel because it has eternal consequences. And so when we say, Lord, keep us safe, we also say, keep us in the truth of the gospel. Jesus has answered that prayer. Those disciples remained faithful. Their testimony, their willingness to risk their life, is some of the loudest witness to the truth that Jesus is alive, and therefore everything he said and what Scripture said is true and can be trusted. And thousands all over the world believed that message by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they clung to the truth. And still today, by God's grace, we have a word that has been written that can be trusted. A word, when it used properly, tells us the truth of how we are saved by faith in Christ Jesus. He's answered that prayer by sending to us, still today, those who proclaim it, who preach it to us, who teach it to us. And so included in our prayers today is not only keep us safe, Lord, thank you for keeping us safe by sending those to proclaim the truth of the gospel to us. Keep them safe. Jesus has answered this prayer by sending his angels to guard and protect us, the forgotten creatures many times. How often do we wake up in the morning and think to ourselves, the angels are going to be with me today? But they are. And maybe today we think about all the many times where something dangerous or bad could have happened and it didn't, because the angels were there. And so today is a day we can also not only pray, Lord, keep us safe, but thanks for sending your angels to be part of that. Jesus has answered this prayer by providing individuals whose jobs are to keep us safe, to protect us from harm and danger, to protect us or maybe even save us in the midst of danger. Those who are committed to helping us work through difficulties and challenges and threats to our health by helping us to get better. And so today our prayer is not only, Lord, keep us safe and healthy, but Lord, thank you for providing those who are committed to doing just that, and keep them safe. And today, you know who else we can thank God for in answer to that prayer? Moms. Christian moms. Well, those who are a mom to us, maybe. Jesus, who had a mom himself and needed her to protect him and keep him safe. He's answered our prayers by sending us those who have protected their children from harm and danger, who have taught them about the truth of the gospel, not alone, with the help of many others, but who have shown their love and concern for someone vulnerable. But not only their child, but God's child as well. And so today our prayer is not only, Lord, keep us safe, but Lord, thanks for sending us moms, and keep them safe. I went to visit my mom back in February. She's 94, I think, right now, on her way to 95. She's been in a nursing home in Minnesota for quite some time. When I first entered into her room, she turned to me and said, "Norv?" And I was so surprised that she knew who I was. Because in previous visits, that was not really the case. But that was great. And that's about as clear as it was for that conversation. At one point, she said to me, "Are your parents still alive?" And I think I said, "One is." She's the one that taught us our bedtime prayer and said it often with us. And it includes the line, "Oh, bring me and all I love to thy happy home above." He will. He has. It's a great prayer to say, and the answer is also great, because Jesus will bring us and all we love to his happy home above. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Lord Jesus, we praise you for the blessing of mothers, for their nurture, patience, and wisdom. Lead children to honor their mothers and husbands to love their wives, the mothers of their children. Lead all of us to humbly accept the roles you have given us according to your wisdom and plan, that we might serve you in the opportunities you place before us. Holy Spirit, we praise you for Pastor Brian Peckman accepting your call to come and serve among us at St. Paul's. Please bless him and his family as they make their way here. Also be with Risen Savior in Pooler, Georgia, and graciously provide them another pastor according to your perfect timing. Heavenly Father, be with Jake and Allison Berry as Allison was hospitalized last week due to difficulties with her pregnancy. Grant continued stability to her and her little baby. According to your will, allow the little one to reach a more sustainable point in growth before being born. Also watch over Wendy Reinemann, who has been battling high temperatures along with her chemo treatments. According to your will, grant recovery and success with her treatments. We entrust them and all of us into your almighty and merciful arms. And we pray this in the name of him who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.